I think that's better.
Matthew chapter 5 in verse 21 to 26. I'm going to have a quick word of prayer because this particular, as every sermon is challenging to get ready for and evaluate, this particular one is a little bit more so. Not because of the timing, but just because it's something we all struggle with a lot. All right, so let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this morning. I thank you for the time that we have been able to share together and worship, and we just ask you to continue to help us to prepare ourselves for what you have for us and your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your word that allows us to see truth and have it added to our lives and help us to get rid of things that stand in the way of our relationship with you. Help us, Lord, as we go through this message to receive the truth and to allow it to be what it is. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Raise your hand if you have pet peeves. Everybody. One of your pet peeves is every time a preacher says, raise your hand about something. Why does he always ask me to admit something? Pet peeves are like, can be silly things, right? And sometimes pet peeves can be just something that just works your nerves every time, which lead to your emotional state being not really what you would like for it to be, most cases, and really not something that honors God if you think about your emotions in that way. And we should. We live in a world today, and I think that Mike hit on this a little bit in his communion meditation, and I think that nothing really has changed over the generations of society since Adam and Eve. I think it just shows itself in different ways, right? But I think we live in a world today where society just seems to be mad all the time, right? And in order to be offended, you have to be upset by something. Isn't that the definition or the description of being offended? Whatever somebody did to me offended me because now I'm upset about whatever that is, right? Like raising my hand because I'm offended about something. Raise your hand if you've been offended. I'm just kidding. It's not something that's out of our control. However, at least in our world today, it seems like it's become a habit to be either offended, upset, or even angry. Like, if we're not that way, we're looking for a reason. And I mean we in general, y'all. Right? Because some of y'all are thinking in your mind and you're like, I'm not like that. Okay, let's get through the scripture and let's ask God for the answer to that question because we don't want to be guilty of ignoring whatever God might be doing in our hearts, okay? So here we are. Talking about Jesus being the fulfillment of the law, talking about us being who we are in Christ, and what is that? How does that work? What does that look like in the kingdom of God, and how does it look in the world, right? And we know that we're trying to be like Jesus, so we should look at what he's saying. And here's the problem. Jesus was not an angry man in the flesh. Now, did he get upset? Say yes. Right? Because everybody in this room is like, but what about the time he threw stuff around the temple and everybody was, he was mad and started making whips and all that kind of stuff. What about the time he called Peter Satan? Remember that? These are things that he was upset about over his father and the things about the status of man and their behavior. And besides that, Jesus is God in the flesh. So guess what he gets to do? He gets to be angry if he needs to be angry. But his anger was righteous. His anger was righteous anger, right? There's a danger when it comes to being angry or mad. If I were to stand up here and be mad right now, be angry, whether it's at you all or at anything else, and it came out in my preaching, almost everybody in this room would go home a little bit upset about something. May not be the same thing I'm upset about, but it's contagious. It's like a wildfire. It just keeps blowing. Any little wind will blow it into the next person and the next person and the next person. In 1894, there was a baseball game between Baltimore and Boston. I'll read you how the account is described. In the spring of 1894, the Baltimore Orioles came to Boston to play a routine baseball game. But what happened that day was anything but routine. The Orioles' John McGraw got into a fight with the Boston third baseman. Within minutes, all the players from both teams had joined the brawl. The warfare quickly spread to the grandstands among the fans. The conflict went from bad to worse. Someone set fire to the stands and the entire ballpark burned to the ground. Not only that, but the fire spread to 107 other Boston buildings as well. That don't even sound like a true story, does it? But that's what happened. Because somebody got angry with somebody else. Right? This is how churches split. Because somebody on this side of the room got angry with somebody on this side of the room. Right? Or these group of people got angry with those group of people. For whatever reason. And it just continues to snowball. Which is not really the best term, considering anger is more like a wildfire. So let's see what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. He says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he will hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison." Verse 26, "I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." So here's Jesus, our Lord, telling us, don't be angry. Right? It seems like a simple instruction. And I'll give you a pet peeve, just so you know. I got pet peeves too. I got a lot of pet peeves, by the way. But one of my pet peeves is whenever I'm upset, for somebody to come up to me and say, "Don't be angry." You don't know. You can't tell me how to feel. Right? I feel how I feel. And maybe they're trying to help, or maybe they just don't want me to be angry because it makes them angry. Whatever the case. Well, here's Jesus saying, don't be angry. And I can't activate that pet peeve when it comes to Jesus talking to me, can I? So I'm like, what do I do? Because I'm sitting in my office going over this sermon. I'm like, how am I going to preach this sermon? I can't even do what Jesus tells me not to do sometimes. It's hard, isn't it? And I got to tell you, maybe it happens on a regular basis like the rest of us. Everybody gets angry about something from time to time. Some people stay angry and some people live in anger. Right? Some of us are aware of it and some of us aren't aware of it. Personally, we're all aware when everybody else is angry. Right? But maybe it was just because I'm focused on this scripture this week. It seems like everything I've ever been angry about was on my mind all week. Which is a problem, because how do you not get re-angry again? You know, I'm just like, I'm trying to read this scripture. Just letting y'all know, the struggle's real. I'm with you guys, right? I'm not standing up here telling you something that I'm not struggling with myself. So let's get through it together. God, okay, two words in the Greek, thumos and orge. It's the best way I know how to pronounce it. I looked it up, practiced it. Or it's got like a little asterisk over the E, which makes it a long E kind of thing. The first word, thumos, is kind of like a wild flame, like a blast of flame, you know, hot flame, maybe even a blue hot flame. Just like that. But it comes out and it goes right back in as quickly as it started. Right? It's like a quick, hot, dangerous flame, and then it gets snuffed right out. Okay? That's that kind of anger. When something, like you hit, let's say something simple. If I hit my thumb with a hammer on accident or even on purpose, I'm going to be mad like instantly. That's just our reaction. Nobody likes to get hurt. Maybe for my wife, if she breaks a fingernail closing the car door or something, it's like boom, the pain is instant. But then it's like she's like, "Oh, I broke my nail," and then she's gone. It's over with. She's not really angry. She just didn't want to break her nail. But this other kind of anger, this orge, it's an anger that has what is known. It's an anger that lasts. It's long lived. It continues on. It's allowed to fester. And matter of fact, you make best friends with it. You start hugging it and carrying it around everywhere you go. You start not feeling comfortable if it's not there. That kind of anger. It starts to dictate everything in your life and who you are. It changes your personality. It festers and becomes malice and hatred. You ever notice somebody who's living in that kind of anger? And everything that happens in their life, they get mad or angry about. And in reality, they're really just angry about whatever started this fire. So everything else that comes along just gets burned right up in it. Right? And I hope that's nobody here. I hope it's not ever me. Because that kind of anger totally destroys who we are from verses 3 to 11. When Jesus was describing, these are the people in the kingdom of God. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are the meek, and all of so on and so on, right? Anger is the opposite of what? Love. It is impossible to have love towards another person and anger at the same time. Now, just because you're angry at someone doesn't mean you stop loving them. But in that moment of anger, it's overcoming the love in your heart. Jesus is really speaking in reference to Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. And the people all knew, the people that were listening to him teach, they all knew about what the law said about murder, right? They all knew that it was not right. God said, do not murder, right? And here's the thing. Most people who, even if they're not believers, if they don't even believe that God exists, if they refuse God's existence, they will agree with you and I that killing or murdering another person with malice in your heart is not right. So that tells me that the Creator has put in us certain moral compasses that say things to us that agree with what He says is right and wrong. Murder. I think everybody in this room would agree that murdering a person is wrong. Whether it's wrong in God's eyes or just wrong, period, in the eyes of man, it's just not right. And there are people in the world that exist that don't see that. That's why people get murdered. A lot of times. So Jesus is presenting a different standard here. He's bringing the kingdom of God into perspective for the people and for us. He's saying, your laws, The rules that you've made up, the religious leaders, that are saying to the rest of the population that because God says do not murder, here's a bunch of rules that you need to do to keep these laws, they're surface level. They're not just about the outward act of murder, are they? Because what did he say? You've heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment again. Anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. So here we are, forbidden anger. It's forbidden. Why is it forbidden? Because it's the opposite of love, and God is love. Okay? So he says, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago. You've heard this, you know this, but here's what I want to tell you. Murder and anger are the same in the eyes of God. That's what Jesus was saying. You've already committed murder in your heart. It's the same as murder. But it's not. Maybe it's not the act. See, most people in the world believe that they're a good person. If we went to, let's say, 100 people in this community and we just asked them, do you think you're a good person? I would say 95%, maybe a little bit more, would say yes. The problem is our standard of good is dependent on our own definition of what good is. Because most people will answer that question instinctively based on what their understanding or what they want good to be, and never cross their mind what God says good is. See? And we have to look at what God is saying. What does God say good is? We can read Romans all day long and understand that no one is good. No one is righteous in the eyes of the Lord under God's standard. And here we see another reason why people run away from God. Well, why do I have to fall under God's rules? They seem too hard. Why is he so strict about everything? Because he cannot have sin in his presence. Because he's holy. And he knows that without Jesus, without his love, it's impossible for us to be in his presence. And he's not saying this to knock people down. He's not saying all of this so that people will be smacked down and say, you guys are just a bunch of knuckleheads. You don't understand nothing. No, Jesus, all of this, every bit of what Jesus is teaching on this mountain is so that people will understand what God intends, what God wants, what God sent Jesus to put in place. Right? Now, I'm going to let you know, I believe that God created us with emotions. Y'all agree with that? Okay, just because I'm... it's okay. You can be like, you can have the peace of Christ while I'm preaching about anger. It's okay, because it's hard. It's heavy, right? But God created us. Even anger is an emotion that we were created with. So it can't always be sinful, can it? It cannot, because God doesn't make mistakes. And that would mean that whatever sin we commit in anger isn't our fault if God put it there. It's how we manage the anger. It's what we do with that emotion when it arises. Do we blow air on that flame and let it become this anger that grows and becomes bitterness and hatred toward the world and everybody around, including the person you look at in the mirror? Right? That's what he's talking about. I'm going to read you this illustration real quick. There's this this rabbi whose name was Simon ben Eleazar. He was coming from his teacher's house, and he was feeling uplifted and thought of his own scholarship and erudition, which means his level of education and his knowledge, his ability to know, right? I like that word. And his goodness, right? And it says, a very ill-favored passerby gave him a greeting. In other words, just said, hello. The rabbi did not turn and return the greeting, but said, here's what he said, you raka. How ugly are you? Are all the men of your town as ugly as you? That's pretty rough. I mean, dude just walked by and said, hello. How you doing? Hey, how you doing? I mean, you're ugly. Is everybody as ugly as you and your family? That's rough, isn't it? So raka, the word raka is a word that really doesn't have a translation, right? There's not any word that we have in our language that would actually say what that word means. It's more of a phrase that they would use, and it's basically, it's a word of contempt. You might as well say, you make me sick. You bring a bad taste in my mouth. In fact, I can't, your name is a stench in my nostrils. You ever said something like that to somebody? No, because you're a good person, right? But let me ask you this. Don't answer this question out loud. You and God talk about this. Have you ever thought about that to somebody? About somebody? You see? Now we're getting to what Jesus was talking about. Because there's some people in this world that are just hard to get along with. And they just rub you like sandpaper all day long. And you don't even know why. Don't raise your hand if that's a preacher. Okay? Here's the rest of that story. The response of this person was, after he was asked, why are you so ugly? And all the people that you live with, are they that ugly? Here's his response. He said, I don't know. Go tell the maker who created me how ugly is the creature he made. Why did I bring up that illustration? It's because this person who was being insulted, this person who was being... ridiculed and slandered and put down in whatever words you want to use. This person, he could have what? He could have returned the favor. And they could have got into this word battle, sticks and stones battle. Right? Apparently sticks and stones are more powerful than they used to be when that first started. You don't believe me, just stay on Facebook long enough. I have seen more people angry, literally angry, sinfully angry over Facebook conversations with people they don't even know. That's what I'm saying. Our world, we are training ourselves and our children to be angry people. And the problem is, oftentimes the church is following suit with that. And it's not what Jesus wants us to do. It's not what Jesus died for. It's not what God has put in place for the body of Christ. We are to go in the world and be different. We're to go in the world and make a difference, but not be of the world. And here's the reality. We don't get to choose this. We are living in a world full of anger and hate. Not just the country, the world. Right? Go back to verse 11. Right? Blessed are those, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Christianity makes people angry. And the sad part is for the church, those who are not Christians makes the church angry. And that is not the gospel, is it? The gospel says to go into the world and love people and love God. It says to go into the world and show people that God is real. And if we show people that God is real, then we would be showing people the love of God. Amen? That's what we try to do. And I know that we try to do that with all of our hearts. But we're all guilty of being angry about the sins of other people. Because it's offensive. Because it changes the world around us. It changes our community. It interferes with some of the freedoms we have in this world. Right? And because we forget who we are and what we're supposed to be, we fall into this trap of being angry about the things that Jesus died for. So that even the people who are doing the things that are disrupting our peace in this world, the peace that we've created, by the way, we get angry. And Jesus is saying, no, we need to see everybody the way God does. Because here's the reality, myself and everybody else in this world once offended God. Once participated in activities that offended someone else. And sometimes still do. And God didn't hate us. God was angry about the sin. God was angry about what happened to Adam and Eve because of Adam and Eve. He was so angry that he kicked them out of the garden. Not because he didn't want them to be there, but because they weren't allowed to be there because of their sin. And from that moment on, he had a plan to make it right again because he loved those people who offended him. And if we're going to be like Christ, our behavior needs to be loving people that are offending God. That seems easy, doesn't it? Right? That seems easy because we know that Jesus died on the cross for everybody. We know that Jesus, the salvation plan of the blood of Christ, the power of the blood of Christ, the forgiveness and all of that comes with it is for everybody who would be willing to repent. You want to know where we struggle? We need to know where we struggle so we can ask God for help to fix it. Slightly look around the room. Don't stay focused on anybody. Whenever those people offend you, it's hard to not be angry with each other. Right? It's hard when someone else, believer or not, family member or not, friend or neighbor or whoever it is, perfect strangers especially, It's hard to not be mad when they do things that offend you or hurt you. To the point where we can't even drive down the road. Hello? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. There's yellow lines and white lines for a reason, people. Stay in your lane. You understand what I'm saying? It comes down to the little bitty things of life. The little bitty pet peeves are an indication of a bigger problem. Right? Punctuation. The proper grammar. All the teachers say what? Amen. Amen. It's important. There's words there for a reason. There's commas there for a reason. There's capitalization and there's different things that we need to put in place so that we can be understood. You can't just make stuff up. And it just keeps building up and building up until we're just angry at everything. It seems trivial, doesn't it? But maybe the one thing that somebody really did do that hurt your feelings probably wouldn't have stung so bad if you weren't already mad about every little thing in the world. And that's why Jesus is saying, no. Here's his biggest, the big idea. He's saying, your relationship with people directly affects your relationship with him, with God, the Father. That's what the rest of this is all about. He's like, look, he says, verse 23, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in the front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Now, we don't offer sacrifice anymore, praise the Lord, because there ain't enough animals in this planet for me. I would be in serious trouble if I had to bring some animal into the altar because I sinned, right? There's just no way. The Day of Atonement was a big day for the Jewish community back in those days. That was when everyone brought their offerings to the altar for the high priest to offer them to God, and it would be like in a Day of Atonement for all the sins of the nation. And everybody was like, woohoo! We get relieved from this burden of sin for at least another year. And they knew that it wasn't like complete 100% atonement because it wasn't perfect sacrifice. They knew how it was set up. But when they came, they would come and they would walk all the way through the temple, all through the different stages, right? There was a place for the Gentiles, there was a place for the women, there was a place for the Jewish men, and then there was the high priest area and the priestly area and then the high priest, and you could only go so far. And then the priest would meet you and he would get your sacrifice and you would lay your hands on the sacrifice and you would transfer your sins into this animal, and then the animal would be offered up as a sacrifice out of obedience to what God had put in place. And Jesus is reminding them of this whole system and saying, if you get to that point and you have someone that you've offended, then you need to stop and go fix that. You need to be reconciled with that person. In other words, he's saying if there's any problem between you and another person in this world, regardless if it's your fault or theirs, you need to get that reconciled, or this whole sacrifice that you're making is pointless and a waste of time. So, what does that have to do with us since we don't live in that law system? Remember, Jesus says, I came to complete the law, not to get rid of it. So what does that mean for us? Right? Because if you read Hebrews, Jesus is the high priest. Right? That's what Jesus is like, the high priest of all high priests. He's the permanent high priest. We don't need any other high priest. Because of Jesus, we have access to the Father anytime we want or need. But this is what Jesus is teaching is still in place. Think about it. Every time you talk to God, every time you call on his name, every time you need something, every time you want something, anytime you want to just come in here or stand outside in the world and offer praise to him, if there's a problem between you and another person, it interferes with your relationship with God. If there's anger in your heart, if there's anger from someone else toward you, you have to be reconciled with people. As far as it is up to you, as if you know about it, you got to do everything you know how to do to try to reconcile. You can't make someone forgive you. You can't make someone talk to you. You can't make someone reconcile with you. But when we stand before God, in any part of our days, we need to be able to say to Him, I've done everything I can to be reconciled with man. Because we're going to jump forward to Matthew chapter 6 as we get ready to finish up. In the last verse of the prayer section, the Lord's Prayer, what we know as the Lord's Prayer, what most people don't like to read, verse 14, it says, this is chapter 6, verse 14, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Everybody says, praise the Lord, and there's many cheers in the world because of that. Happiness and peace was throughout the hearts of man because of all of that. But verse 15 says, if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. We cannot be forgiven if we are not able to forgive. And anger that lives in the heart is unforgiveness about something. Here's the reality about forgiveness. Forgiveness is simply this: surrendering your right to collect what is owed to you. It's owed to you, whatever it is, and you have every right to collect it, but you're choosing to surrender that right permanently. That's what forgiveness is. Someone hurt your feelings, you're owed an apology. Whether you get it or not, you got to get to the point where it's like it's not important whether you get that or not. Are you going to choose to love that person or not? Are you going to be angry with that person? You're going to hold it against them for the rest of their life. You cannot be in the presence of God that way. We cannot be in the presence of God that way. That's why he's saying if you have anger in your heart, it's the same as murder. That's why it's such an offense when somebody gets mad at somebody and they say, you're dead to me. It's like you never existed. Isn't it harsh? I'm not saying you have to be best friends with the people that are ugly with you. I'm not saying that at all. You have to manage your relationship with God based on what God says the relationship needs to be. Right? Because here's the way people get went one over. Let's finish up with this, because I can preach for another hour and a half and then y'all will be angry with me. Here's the way it is. We are believers. Those of us who believe that Jesus is the Christ, those of us who have repented of offending God, accepted His grace and His forgiveness, right? Instead of living in what angers God, we live in what pleases God and is a blessing to God in Christ. And if we're going to go into the world and make disciples and love God and love people, the only way to do that is to get rid of anything that is in contrast to love. And here's the problem. It's hard. It's not even, sometimes not even possible to not be angry about some things. Some things are just so horrible, it's impossible to not be angry about it. This is why we need Jesus, y'all. It's only in Christ that we can do these things. It's only with the strength of God. It's only with God's righteousness, His forgiveness, His compassion. It's only when we grow in Christ and we eliminate our selfishness and get into what Jesus is and who He is in our hearts that we can see everybody in this world the way God sees them. Especially the ones who are making us so angry and offending us so much to the point where we just can't handle it. Because here's the truth. Jesus died for them as much as He died for you. And if we can't forgive them, then we're saying that Jesus' death on the cross was for me and not for them. If we can't get past what angers us, then Satan wins. And if we really want people to know that Jesus is the Christ, if we really want people to know that there's a life after this world with God that's available, we have got to be able to present Jesus to them. And Jesus does not come in the form of anger. Ever, right? God help us all, because I don't even know if this day is going to be over before I have to battle that. It's an ongoing thing, isn't it? This is why we need Jesus. I love y'all.
And I hope that whenever we get angry with one another, we would do what God asked us to do and reconcile and honor him in that. And I hope that when we show the world who Jesus is, we can do the same and invite people into that, right? We're going to sing a song right now. And if you don't know Jesus, if you're not saved, now's the time. If you want to know more about that, come see me at the church. Otherwise, if you need prayer, come up here and we'll pray for you. If you're struggling with anger, struggling with managing your anger, lift it up to the Lord while we're singing. If you need help, talk about it, come see me. You ready? Let's stand together and sing.